welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope everyone's having a fantastic day today. The situations that have been going on are continually changing over here, you know, at the beginning of March. Well, we're March 6th today, just to date this show so everybody knows we are live today, and we do have a lot of stuff going on. And we just, I'm watching this stuff this morning, and everything's starting to kind of do exactly what we thought it was going to do, but we had been hoping it wasn't going to do. And just something to kind of be aware of right now, as I woke up this morning and saw basically more cases starting to pop up all over the U.S. now. I think they're saying like there's 233 cases in the U.S., which in reality, the populace of the U.S., that's really, really small. But what's interesting is I had a conversation with one of my good buddies last night who's sheriff's department, he's on SWAT, and they had a meeting with their trauma medics, basically their trauma doctors. You know, they keep multiple trauma doctors on staff all the time, especially whenever they have a SWAT deployment, and obviously they rotate them out. And he said that they've been, his trauma doctor, basically obviously been talking to different doctors all over the country, and they said this is a very strange virus because either there's multiple strains of it or this thing continues to keep mutating very, very quickly. And that seems to be what we're starting to see here now, is certain areas are getting certain forms of it and it's more aggressive, certain ones are not. And he said, you know, as long as everybody's keeping pretty good sanitation and keeping pretty good, you know, taking care of themselves, basically the same thing we've been saying, he said he doesn't think it's going to affect those people nearly as bad. Majority of the people that have been in the death toll are generally individuals that are older or already have preconditions or already have underlying health problems. He said exactly what I said, that he goes, his biggest concern is what he thinks is about to start happening within the next couple months is a serious, serious economic downturn. And that's coming from basically a combat trauma medic in the sheriff's department, basically just off the cuff. This is not him, you know, trying to speculate or him trying to do fear porn. This is what he's saying from all the feedback he's getting from different sheriffs and different doctors around the country, is that we're just starting to see the beginning of this. Even if everybody manages to maintain their health in the U.S., which I think a lot of the Patriot community and our listeners and stuff will, because of the supplements and vitamin C that everybody's taking and, you know, proper sanitation. But the level of economic downturn is going to be catastrophic. You know, it reached over, what, 100,000 cases worldwide, which, again, that's still, in overall, what, 7 billion people, that's still not that many people, guys. I mean, you got to understand this. We're not, you know, 2, 3, 4 billion people infected. At least let's hope it doesn't get that way. But the thing that we're already seeing, I mean, the Dow, I turned on this morning, and the Dow was already down, you know, like 800 points as soon as it opened. The unemployment rate went down. They try to pull all these job numbers out, release all these great job reports, and unemployment's down and jobs are up. Market's still tanked this morning, which tells me that everybody's starting to wake up and realize what's going on. There's an article in Daily Mail's talking about how in California Costco, they had to start deploying the sheriff's department over there because they were having so many fights. People were getting in fights and disturbances over toilet paper and bottled water and everything else. And I told you guys, beginning of this week, you know, I sent Lana over to Sam's to pick up some supplies for the office and go ahead and pick up some stuff for everybody else. She said, "Austin, like almost everything's sold out. Send me photos of everything. This is just Little Lakeland, Florida. Everything's sold out. People were lined like halfway to the back of the store, full of shopping carts. That was the beginning of the week, and now we're seeing it starting to progress more and more. So again, I encourage everybody: make sure that you have all your preps together. Make sure you have some adequate water, some adequate food. We're supposed to be getting some more food buckets in today. I will keep everybody apprised on that. We're still fulfilling the orders as fast as we can get them in. And, of course, make sure you're staying on a very, very strong dose of C and D. I've told everybody a couple days ago, the microdosing of the vitamin C is works best for me and a lot of other people. You know, 1,000, 1,500, 2,000 milligrams, really kind of where you can handle it, but taking it multiple times throughout the day, even if you have to carry a bottle in your purse or your backpack or in a Ziploc bag, keeping your blood levels of vitamin C elevated throughout the whole day are really, really going to keep your immune system supercharged all day long throughout anything that you're exposed to, Dad. So that's kind of my morning opening that's going on right now on Friday.
Well, good morning, everybody who's listening. Yesterday we played a tape, you guys know that, and we basically let you guys come up for air. And I had to come up for air. Austin had to come up for air. I mean, I said Ganook on the coronavirus yesterday. I'm just going to go ahead and play a tape from like a year ago. And we just talked about the power of God and use Scripture. And that's why we did that. I just want you guys to take a breath. And, you know, we're both, Austin and I are both certified scuba divers. And, you know, we do a lot of snorkeling, done a lot of snorkeling over the years. And, you know, there's a certain point, like say, if you don't have a set of tanks and you go down 25 feet or 30 feet or 35 foot on a free dive, you've got to come up for air. You've got to breathe. And the problem with the coronavirus is that, you know, I had to let you guys come up for air yesterday. That's why I told Austin, I said, we're playing tape. I said, we're going to do it from before Trump got impeached. that circus clown, so fiasco. We're going to do it before the coronavirus hit. I'm just going to go back and play a really good tape. So if you guys missed that yesterday, play it yesterday for your own sanity. Just listen to the scriptures that I used and just realize that this is the day the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and we'll be glad in it. And that when you're born again, you live forever. Your body may pass away, but you keep on going. So this coronavirus thing, don't let it get to your head. They're messing with you now. The entire globalist establishment is messing with you. I mean, every major news story on Drudge, every, you know, on Zero Hedge, and Zero Hedge is not a globalist news site, by the way, are basically talking about coronavirus. And it's just, it is what it is. I mean, again, it's just what Austin just said. You know, if you keep your immune system strong, in fact, I had a meeting with my staff yesterday at Health Masters. I said, look, here's the deal. You guys better be taking all your vitamins. You know, we are an integral staff. We basically work together in a very, you know, close environment, and everybody's got to stay healthy. I said, it's not going to do anybody any good if somebody gets sick in here, everybody gets infected, and we can't even ship product. I said, that's no good. I said, we've all got to stay healthy right now. You got to limit your exposure in public areas. You got to limit, you know, in other words, right now is not the time to go to Disney World. You know, that wretched place. You know, I can't stand that place. Right now is not the time to go on a cruise ship. And it probably isn't the time to go to a Trump rally, despite Mr. Trump's incessant stupidity about all this stuff. At least he's not calling the thing a doggone, you know, hoax anymore. You know, and remember, guys, you know, the thing about all of this is a lot of Christians, okay, now I'm going to stop for just a second here about this, and I'm going to fuss for just a second. Here's the deal. We've got a lot of Christians who believe they're going to get raptured now. You think, whoa, really? Yeah. They think this is the beginning of the tribulation, and they're going to find themselves in a very negative situation here, you know, with coronavirus, because they're hugging and kissing people in church and blah, 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 and they're going to find themselves sick. And they're going to go, why can't we be raptured? Okay, well, because they were taught this for the last 100 years, 120 years. And this is the problem that we get into with Christianity. This morning, Sharon and I, before our prayer time, let me just kind of just share with you some personal stuff real quick. You know, we were talking in the prayer before our prayer time, and I said to her, I said, the problem is the churches aren't teaching the real Jesus. And they're coming out with basically a false Messiah, a false Jesus, a false God, a false faith, a false religion. They're not teaching Jesus Christ. Remember when Jesus addressed this. You know, he said, Lord, Lord, didn't we do this in your name? And didn't we do this in your name? Didn't we do this? Didn't we do this? Didn't we do this? And he goes, I don't know you. You know, I don't know you. And, you know, and this is the thing that we have to understand. God is righteous. You know, Chuck Baldwin wrote a column a couple weeks ago, and it says this is not going to end well for evangelicals. And though I don't agree with some of the tone that he used, and basically I probably wouldn't have attacked Trump as hard as he did. He basically told the truth. He did. That's why I love Chuck Baldwin. I love the guy. He's phenomenal. And evangelicals have been programmed now that, you know, there's not a problem with anything, that we can do whatever we want to do, and it's okay. And the people in the United States, you know, barring 9/11, barring Pearl Harbor, they haven't seen anything come to our soil. And so they're all mansy-pamsy, everything's happy, let's go buy something, let's go do something, let's go to Disney World. Okay, let's pretend like coronavirus doesn't exist. And then the churches are doing the same thing. They're pretending like none of this is going on, none of it's real. And I've got a friend of mine who's a pastor, and he contacted me last night. He says, dude, man, I didn't know this was this serious. He goes, I just had a friend of mine come back from Germany come to the convention over there, and they have quarantined him at his home for 2 weeks. And I had another pastor from a megachurch contact me last week and said, you know, I got a schedule to go to Israel. What do you think? I said, don't go. And then, of course, we have our local university here, Southeastern University, which is a Christian school. And they just had their missions thing for spring break, and they sent their students all over the world into infected countries to basically go on vacation and to minister to people. And now they're all coming back through all these airports with all this exposure. You know, I've got another friend of mine who they thought she had coronavirus this week. And hopefully she doesn't have it. The test hadn't come back yet, but she's flying all over the country. Now she's fixing to fly to Hawaii. And I'm like, stop it. Okay? This isn't okay. We've got to stop this. You know, the Dow Jones is down almost 800 points, like Austin said, this morning before 10 o'clock. And you're thinking, what the heck's going on? And then we have 15, according to an article of Daily Mail, it says 15 people will die and the global economy will take a $2.3 trillion hit from coronavirus in the best case scenario, a new study predicts. This is research by an Australian National University, lays out the range of coronavirus outcome. In the worst case scenario, the global death could reach a staggering 68 million. Are you listening to friends? We're talking swine flu on steroids from 1919. Some countries' economies could shrink up to 8% in a global meltdown. Well, guys, it's going to shrink a whole lot more than 8%. You know, we always wondered where Deagle was getting their information in those charts where you had hundreds of millions of people dying in the United States and our GDP dropping off to a fraction of what it is. And we're always like, well, that ain't going to happen. That ain't going to happen. Well, guess what, guys? There's a high probability it's happening right now. This isn't a dress rehearsal. This isn't a joke. This isn't a hoax, according to Donald Trump. It was a hoax. It's not a hoax. Austin and I, you know, here's the thing. I try to be led by the Holy Spirit. You guys know that. I pray all the time. I prayed for you guys this morning. I have the privilege to pray for you this morning and the responsibility to pray for you. You're my family. And we came out in this stuff 6 weeks ago, and we started telling you guys, you know, back in January, this is bad. This is coming our way. You know, get ready. And we were so far ahead of the curve. I mean, a month out, 6 weeks out in front of the curve with the health profession in the United States. And I'm talking alternative health people. We were way out ahead of the curve. So you guys got charged up, got D3 up, got iodine up, and got vitamin C upped. Now a lot of these manufacturers no longer have products. And luckily, we ordered a lot of inventory in advance before they ran out. In fact, we pretty much made several of them run out by getting the inventory that we needed at Health Masters to provide you what you need. But here's what we have, though. We've got a complete and total panacea, you know, a Pollyanna approach to basically what's going on globally from the Christian community. You know, they're still what was the one quote I got from this one Christian pastor, this woman? She goes, this is what I just got. I could play it for you, but I'm not going to do it because you recognize your voice. We're in it to win it. You know, and she's saying that still now. Like, you know, newsflash, you probably need to just calm down for a minute and just realize what we're in. And she wasn't talking about coronavirus. You know, she's basically, what does she say? We're in it to win it, praising Jesus out loud. And this is the, how can I say this without being negative? I'm in it to win it for Christ. I'm in it to win it for souls. I'm not in it to win it because I want a bigger house or more stuff. I'm really here because I want to help you guys. And we as Christians, we have to realize that these name it, claim it, blab it, grab it groups right now, they're not going to know what to do, because a lot of them have these giant mortgages and these giant facilities that when the attendance in the church starts to drop off or people get laid off from their work and they stop paying their tithes because they don't have any money coming in, that they're not going to be able to make the bills. Now, I'm going to say something to you guys, and it's very, very important. We're going to get through the coronavirus. We're going to come out the other side, all of us. We are. I'm just telling you that right now. I believe that for you. I have to believe that for all of us. You gotta watch your finances, okay? You don't need a new Lamborghini. You don't need a new pickup truck. You don't need something else to put a payment on if what you have paid for is running well. You don't need to upgrade your house and house swap and all that unless you're doing it for money, and that's about time to pretty much stop doing that too. It's time to kind of like strap it down, buckle it down, and say, we gotta just kind of have to chill out for a bit and do what we need to do to get things done. That's where we need to be right now on this, what's going on with this coronavirus. We don't need to be going out and eating in expensive restaurants. We don't need to be going out and eating in restaurants pretty much at all because of people's exposures, et cetera. I mean, all of this stuff is so important that we understand that right now. Now, if you've got a mom-and-pop restaurant that you've been going to for years, and you know the people, and you know how clean they are and all this other kind of stuff, you know, whatever. Just be careful. Keep your hands washed. But, guys, listen to me for a second. You know, it's time for Christians to get this thing knuckled down and realize that there are things we have to do. We have to be about our Father's business. We've got to be talking to people about souls. We can't be teaching an artificial fake Jesus anymore. We can't be doing that. We can't be listening to that. You know, we can't be basically going to churches that the only thing they care about is how much money they bring in and how many new facilities they can start up. It's got to be about converting people to Jesus Christ and basically telling them that it's not okay to live the life they live. They've got to change. They can't go out and get drunk all the time. They can't go out and jump on a bunch of whores anymore. They got to stop that mess and not pretend like they're Christians when they're doing it. Years ago, I had a kid on the back porch, and I was talking to him, and he was telling me he was a Christian, and every weekend he was going out and, forgive my vernacular, screwing another woman. And I finally told him, he's in his early 20s. I told him, I said, dude, you claim to be a Christian. This behavior needs to stop. And he looked at me and goes, what do you mean? I said, do you not understand this? Has no one sat down and talked to you about this? Yesterday, I talked to my 17-year-old daughter. She's going to study with this guy. And, you know, and she's got a bunch of friends on social media, a bunch of guy friends. And she's still talking to all the guy friends. And she's, you know, she's basically got a boyfriend. And I told her, I said, look, I said, here's the thing. If you're going steady with somebody, you got to relegate these people that you know online to just occasional acquaintances. You can't be building rapport and spending long hours on the telephone talking to other guys if you've got a boyfriend, because guys don't see it that way. When they talk to you and they get to know you and they like you and you're pretty, they're going to want to basically go out with you. And I said, it's kind of like you can't do that. You can't have a second love if you've got a first love. Well, our first love has to be Jesus, and we've got to be telling people about Christ. And that's why, again, I played this show yesterday with all the scripture on it, because it's just so important that we understand this. It's so important that we all remember that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. But there are certain things that, you know, it's okay to leap about in church and have fun. I don't have a problem with that at all. But sometimes you got to stop leaping about because there are things we got to do. Well, right now there are things we got to do. We got to knuckle down, tighten down. Take our supplements, eat clean, avoid crowds, keep our hands washed, don't touch our face. Those are things we need to do. Well, here's another article from Daily Mail. It says, so how deadly is the coronavirus? Because you're most likely to die if you're a man. That's special. Elderly, I guess over 60, that's special for me. And have an underlying heart condition, stats suggest. 1.7% of women who catch the virus will die compared to 2.8% of men. Men are also disproportionately affected during SARS and MERS outbreaks. Death rates among those with diabetes are expected to be at 7%. Guys, that's huge. 6% of people with high blood pressure and coronavirus are expected to die. It comes to the number of cases over 96,000 global with 3,300 deaths, which, by the way, those numbers are a lie. There's many, 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 many more than that who've been infected. So, you know, in another article, it says how cruise ships basically have become chaotic and has caused cruise ships chaos. Holidaymakers around the world are trapped on ocean liners. Experts say elderly passengers confined in spaces are the most vulnerable. Another Carnival ship, the Grand Princess, has been stuck off the coast of California now. Guys, you know, I've been on a lot of cruises. I will never go on another Carnival ship. I'm just telling you that right now, period. The Holland America, last ship we were on, was filthy. And I told you we had the norovirus go through. And when you get a lot of people confined in a small area with recycled air, with dirty dishes on tables, oh my gosh, you are asking to catch something. So guys, be really careful where you go and what you do right now. But always remember, guys, this is so important. We're sanctified by the blood of the Lamb. But that doesn't mean we can't use common sense. We've got to stay frosty, pay attention, and realize that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. That's a fact. But we also need to pray like it's all up to God and work like it's all up to us. Stay focused on what you're doing. Austin, what do you think? What's your next story, bud?
That's really well said. It is really well said. We've been telling everybody for the last 5-6 weeks now. This thing's just starting to spool up in the U.S. So, I mean, everybody needs to get mentally prepared for this as well. You know, I was talking to another person about this a couple of days ago, and they were kind of joking it off and, you know, making jokes about it. And I'm like, yeah, you know, it is what it is. I'm like, there's no reason to be super serious all the time because it just stresses you out, quite frankly. Been there, done that. You can't be so serious all the time about everything. Sometimes you just got to laugh. even if it's not even funny. Sometimes you just kind of laugh and be like, dude, I just gotta take a step back, like yesterday. And but that's the thing, is I think people need to realize now that, but at the same time, we're also seeing the mainstream media stoke this up more and more and more and more and more and more. And it's ironic because we're seeing that there's certain restrictions and certain parameters that should be being met right now to prevent this thing from spreading that aren't being done. But at the same time, the mainstream media is pushing nothing but this 24/7, 365, blah, 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 big red numbers in the death toll. You know, Dave, you know how they do. I told you guys how to do this, like, the big counting clocks on the side. They're, oh, more, 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 more people. Everybody's freaking out. Guys, that aspect of, I'll tell you right now, that aspect's a psychop. It's designed to make people more fearful and more scared. Remember what I told you is going to happen? They're going to release some type of RNA or DNA sequencing vaccine within the next 4 to 6 weeks. They're going to bring it out. They're going to have it ready. They're going to say, we need, you know, X amount of people to test it on the populace, and we have no idea what this thing is going to do, because they're just getting warmed up with the psychop. We already know more and more cases of these are going to show up. And like we said before, I think there's like 230 cases in the United States right now. Overall, in reality, real numbers, that's hardly anything compared to the American populace. I mean, that's literally nothing compared to the populace. I mean, more people die every day in car accidents than that. But this is where they're trying to push the narrative. Now, am I saying this thing isn't absolutely bad? No, I'm not saying that at all. But what I'm saying is they're intentionally stoking fear about it to try to push their narrative. There's also going to be, in my opinion, from what a lot of other people have said, some very strict totalitarian controls that come into place here in the next few months. We're probably going to start seeing mandatory roadblocks. There's a high probability if they release a vaccine, they're going to start mandating if you don't have the vaccine, you're not going to be able to go out in public. I'm giving you guys a heads up right now. If you look at history and you look at what's happened in the past and you just take a sliver of what's been going on in China, you get a pretty clear-cut example of what we've seen. This is why in New York last year they came in and mandated the MMR vaccine and banned children that basically did not have the MMR vaccine from going out to public areas. Then they said they were going to mandate certain areas, certain zip codes, to get the MMR vaccine. If you didn't get it, you're going to be fined. And if you didn't pay the fine, you're going to go to jail. This is all about getting the MMR vaccine, which the measles didn't kill anybody last year at all in the U.S. So remember, they never let a crisis go to waste. They're going to twist it. They're going to completely just manipulate it and to push it into their direction. Same thing we saw when 9/11 after it happened. The fear and tension and loathing and everybody just all frustrated and upset, where they were able to push the Patriot Act. Heck, they were able to get us into a war that we still haven't gotten out of yet in Afghanistan, so we can push more production of heroin in the United States. So best believe that there is a backstory game plan to this, and we all need to be aware of it so we can expose it and vocalize it and make sure we bring up stuff that's going on. This is why, as well, they're completely and totally squashing anything in the mainstream media right now that talks about the origin of this or talks about natural solutions like high doses of vitamin C. Every single thing I've seen that's come up about this, mainstream media said, this fact check, that's false. That's fake news. That's fake news, fake news, fake news. Can't talk about that. Now, you can't just not talk about it. We're going to ban you on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter if you bring this up now. You bring it up too many times, you're banned. Your account's frozen. So we decide you can be a good little slave again and not talk about the things we tell you not to talk about. This is where the narrative goes. I mean, for example, you still have all this stuff going on right now. Now it's been reported that the health officials in King County out in Washington State confirmed that an employee who worked at the February 22nd Seattle Dragons XFL game as a concession stand worker has now tested positive for the virus. The employee worked at a concessions vendor at the stadium, which had over 22,000 people in it. That's nice. That's fantastic. So they got someone working a concession stand, probably exposed to thousands of people, if not tens of thousands of people, when you start expanding on the people who got exposed to it and they exposed it to other people. So we're gonna see how this is gonna play out in the next couple weeks. And this is why I told everybody. Right now, stadiums, big giant games, football fields, you know, going out to Disney World, these Epcot, MGM, guys, it's not that time anymore. I mean, and I've had some people say, oh, you think I should basically get a refund on this trip or here? I'm not going to tell you what to do with your money. I'm not going to tell you to get a refund. You do whatever you want to do. I learned that a long time ago. Probably you start telling people what they have to do. You got to do this right now. You need to go get a refund on this. What happens if they get a refund on it and then they decide later on that they wish they would have gone? Then they blame you. I can't believe you told me to get a refund. Whoa. I didn't tell you to get a refund. I told you to do whatever you wanted to do. It's your choice. It's your money. It's your life. I'm just giving you my personal opinion about what I'm doing. Going out to these places right now, especially theme parks and whatnot, isn't something that I would highly recommend to anybody right now. But again, everybody has to make their own decision. Another story, too, what you were talking about a minute ago, as far as where there's certain areas, main airports, that aren't even restricting stuff or even testing people. Julius LaValle pasted something on Twitter yesterday, if you guys saw this. She goes, I just landed in JFK after reporting on coronavirus in Milan. This is a journalist that was in Italy, in Milan and Lombardy, reporting on it right now, like 2-3 days ago. Flew back from Milan, and she said the epicenter of Italy's outbreak for Vice News. She goes, I walked right through U.S. Customs coming out of Milan. They didn't even ask me where in Italy I went. If I came in contact with sick people, if I felt bad, if I had a cough, nothing. They asked me anything. Literally stamped it, gone. And so it's ironic that you see certain situations where they're clamping down and trying to do almost a quarantine procedure on anybody that does anything or even has a sniffle. But then there's other situations like this coming into JFK where flights coming in and out of Italy, which, by the way, why in the world are we still even taking flights in and out of Europe in general? If you guys have looked at the map, pretty much every single country in Europe has some form of coronavirus case now, at least one or two. Some of the cases more than that. I mean, Italy in the thousands now, France pushing up there. Why are we still having international flights right now? This is my question. Why are we still bringing in flights to the U.S.? Why is all this stuff still going on? If it's this big of a deal, and if the mainstream media is upplaying it this big, and it's supposedly this horrific, which it appears it may be, why in the world do we still have all these flights coming in with unchecked people and everybody's just doing whatever they want? It almost appears they're trying to make sure this thing spreads as far as they can, bring the hysteria up as it starts to spread, and then come in with the solution. Remember I told you before, Hegelian dialect, that brings up all the time, problem, action, solution. They create the problem, they have the action, then all of a sudden out of nowhere they come up with a solution. To me, that appears what's happening with this entire aspect. So, again, just something to be aware of on it and understand what is going on. And at the same time, we have this giant issue with Turkey now, with what they're doing is with pushing out basically these migrants into Europe. This, I was reading about that yesterday, that this whole thing's just been chaotic over there. And, you know, one of the reasons why, and this has been a pretty, in my opinion, pretty accurate, one of the reasons why they've seen such a massive surge in coronavirus in Europe, and we talked about this last week, is the migrant population. Because the sanitation and the hygiene of a lot of these individuals is very subpar for what it needs to be in a first world country. I mean, you remember the ports. We talked about it before all over the place. Germany, Italy, Greece, France. I mean, the list goes on, where migrants were defecating on sidewalks. I mean, I remember there's a report in Germany. It was like 2 years ago. This small town didn't know what to do because they got like 500 migrants in, and they kept pooping in everybody's flower beds. I mean, I'm not saying that as a joke. Literally, they were frustrated. They know what to do. These people don't speak English. They have zero concept of sanitation, and they just walk over to somebody's flower bed and just take a huge poop right in their flower bed and then just walk off. I mean, if that's not unsanitary, I don't know what is. But these are the same people now in the same countries now that we're starting to see the coronavirus explode out of nowhere. And then the problem is, if you look at the numbers, we're only seeing about a 10% recovery rate. You know, Italy's got like, what, 4,000 cases now almost? They've had like 400 people recover. The numbers are getting very strange in a lot of these countries that have poor sanitation. So I think, again, if you're keeping your immune system strong, if you're basically restricting and limiting your access to exposure to a lot of people in a lot of areas, especially people that are traveling and going all over the place. Remember, you're in a small rural town and nobody really is exposed to anybody on the outside. You know, everybody kind of knows everybody. Everybody kind of works together. As long as everybody keeps proper sanitation and healthy hygiene, there's really not an issue. There really isn't. It's going to places where you're going to be exposed to people that are traveling internationally and traveling a lot of these areas that have these places that are hotbeds for this, and people are coming down with cases by the hundreds every day, and nobody even knows where it's coming from. It's, oh, another 150 cases, another 150 cases, another 200 cases. That's the issue. Same thing like with this XFL stadium football thing over here. It's a concession stand worker. My opinion right now, I'm telling you, Washington State, this is one of those times now up there, you need to just stay out of those areas. You need to go rural. You need to go to cabin in the woods or your aunt and uncle's house or your friend's house. That's not where I would be right now, because big cities, especially when they're starting like this, these are going to be the hotbeds that absolutely explode, just like Milan and these other areas in Italy, Dad. That's at least my opinion on it.
You know, Austin, that's a really good, you know, summary of all of it. And, you know, it's just, remember I talked about it a couple of weeks ago. It's funny to me how they seeded migrants all over the country, all over Europe, all over San Francisco, yep, all over L.A., who don't know how to use a toilet, who take a dump in the street, on the sidewalks. I mean, San Francisco is filthy, and we know coronavirus passes through feces. Of course, the media's not talking about that anymore either. But years ago, I did a talk show with this liberal, which I didn't want to do, and I got pushed into it by my publicist. And he was talking about immigration, and I was talking about immigration. I had no problem about immigration because my mom's an immigrant from Germany, for heaven's sakes. But you need to go through proper, you know, hygiene protocols to make sure the people coming into your country aren't diseased. And that's just something, you know, he went berserk when I said that. And I don't even know, you know, the guy's an idiot. But the point is, it's just, you know, I don't know what to say about this except that we told you so. And I hate being an I told you so person in the middle of a crisis. Because nobody wants to hear that. But, and of course, all of you guys, you already know I told everybody so. I've told everybody years ago, and I've told you just a few months ago, that they're not going to nuke us. We're not going to get a tornado. We're not going to get a hurricane. We're not going to have an earthquake. We're not going to have a volcano. We're not going to have aliens eat us. It's going to destroy the planet. They're going to use biologicals. And all of these fear porn websites, I'm so over it. They're still pumping the whole thing with the volcanoes, the whole thing with the earthquakes, all of this stuff. Still. Now, a lot of them tried to get traction last summer on aliens coming to eat us, and it didn't get any traction, so everybody thought this is nuts. And so now they've stopped doing that. It's all about clickbait. I've told you that. It's all about clickbait. That's why we try to put other stuff on our website than just weird stuff with weird headlines for clickbait. We try not to do that. And I can't tell you. I mean, I go through hundreds of articles a day. It's 4 to 6 hours a day in preparation for every show we do. 4 to 6 hours a day in front of the iPad. You think, well, that's a lot of work. Well, yeah, it is a lot of work, but it's what I do. It's like a job I have, because I bring you this show live every day, and I really, really know that it's my responsibility to do that, because I'm a responsible person. I take my responsibility very seriously. But let's change the topic. Let's talk about a few other things. You know, Donald Trump had this big thing a couple of weeks ago in which he was talking to the Taliban, trying to get a truce deal brokered over Afghanistan, and it wasn't even – the ink hadn't even dried. The U.S. attacked Taliban positions in Afghanistan again in a first strike after a much-hyped truce deal. It appears the official death of the so-called historic peace deal between the U.S. and the Taliban in Afghanistan, as the U.S. military has bombed Taliban positions Wednesday of this week in Afghanistan, and the first such airstrike after the truce deal, and the first strike occurred in nearly 2 weeks. Remember, Donald Trump's dropped more bombs than Barack Obama has already in 8 years, in his first 3 years. Of course, Donald Trump's not doing that. The military is controlled by the military-industrial complex, which is controlled by the CIA, which is controlled by the Sabbatean Kabbalists, which is controlled by the Luciferians, which is controlled by the stake in the tree through an interdimensional interface, through a D-Wave computer, through a 5G network, which they're trying to fix up. And don't ask me to repeat that. It was too much for me to even think about too fast. But that's what's going on right now. And so we have to understand that. But this thing with Afghanistan is not going to go away for one reason only, one word, only one word: heroin. That's it. And it's not going to go away. They're not going to have a truce with Afghanistan. They're not going to pull the troops out of Afghanistan. It's not going to happen. Now, let's talk about somebody who's fun to pick on. The unbelievably horrible personality, Elizabeth Warren, in her presidential run, because she dropped out of the campaign now. Pocahontas is done. She's finished. This weirdo who lied on her Harvard application and said that she was Indian, who's carried this Indian thing for like the last 50 years now just to promote herself politically, you know, has been found out to be complete and total fraud. And Breitbart came out with an article and says, note that the first three inflicted wounds that doomed Elizabeth Warren's presidential run. And I have to give him credit. He wrote this up pretty good. We have it posted on the website. He says, there are plenty of reasons Elizabeth Warren will never be president. Most of them have to do with the fact that she's an unappealing person. In other words, she's just the pits. Warren's not terribly bright, blatantly dishonest, scoldly in school, marmish, a flaming phony, and has less charisma than a bowl of bran. I have to love the way he wrote that. A little bit of humor for you guys today. Setting that aside, let's not forget that for a short time, back in October, Warren was a Democratic frontrunner, which means despite her personality flaws, she had a chance. No, she didn't. So there was much more to her epic failure than her persona and her series of self-inflicted wounds. The DNA test, when she finally came out and said, I'm going to prove to everybody that I'm a Cherokee. Well, that failed. She proved that she lied. That's all she proved, which made her even more, you know, of a liar and less appealing. And then she had the Medicare for All fiasco. We're going to go ahead and give everybody Medicare. Well, yeah, that's not going to work either. Not good for a front runner telling how she's going to bankrupt the United States. And then she decided to attack Bernie Sanders as a sexist. Now, with her fortunes failing, Warren once again proved that she was a nasty, incompetent piece of work. She is, I'm reading you this, guys. She is by leaking, come on, we all know it was her, and what she claimed to be a private conversation between her and Bernie, where Bernie supposedly told her a woman could not win the presidential election. Bernie's sexist, y'all. By this time, the middle of January, her numbers were in free fall, and so she obviously hoped the leak would damage Bernie with women and boost her among the far left voters. This incompetent group of militant leftist feminist lesbians. I just added that, by the way. Well, again, despite the help of the fake news media, it totally backfired. Her numbers kept falling, with Bernie climbing the first place. Let me say something about Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders is a likable little communist. I actually like Bernie. I actually like him. You think, well, I cannot believe that you like Bernie. I didn't say I was going to vote for him, okay? But he talks about the banks. He hammers Israel. He talks about Israel being an apartheid racist state. He talks, wouldn't go to the AIPAC convention. I mean, the guy's likable. Come on now. You know he is. I mean, he's so obnoxious that he's likable. When he said the other day that nobody likes him, he goes, well, my wife likes me on, you know, sometimes. You know, who could not like a person who talks like that and jokes like that? So Bernie was the whole nomination was stolen from Bernie with Hillary. Quite frankly, if we had had an honest election, I can pretty much tell you that Bernie Sanders would have beaten Donald Trump. Hillary couldn't do it, but Bernie could have done it because Donald Trump's background is so obnoxious. Now, I'm not saying that I would ever vote for Bernie or socialist or communist. I consider their entire mindset to be insanity. But the reality is that, you know, Bernie is likable and Elizabeth Warren is not likable, and Joe Biden is a pervert. He's a perv. He's a creeper. Joe Biden is a creeper, weirdo pervert who somebody should have knocked his head off a long time ago for fondling their child or their wife. I mean, this guy's a sicko, man. And now that's the best the Democratic Party has to go. Now, we know that, you know, Minnie Mike basically is out now. So now we have this thing between Biden and the creeper and Bernie, the likable communist. So it's like I said last week, it's like the doggone, you know, the song, you know, YMCA, you know, with the Indian and the weirdo and the perverts and the weirdos. I mean, that's what we've got in the Democratic Party. So that's what's happening right now with those guys. By the way, this is interesting. In the wake of the last AIPAC meeting, which, by the way, the AIPAC meeting was so strong, there were about 20,000 people. This was a giant convention. Remember, AIPAC itself has 40,000 volunteers and employees. Now, you heard that right. 40,000 in the United States. That's how big this lobbying group is. However, in the wake of AIPAC, the Israeli health ministry now has ordering self-quarantine of the residents returning from conferences, including the AIPAC meeting from abroad. Why? On Wednesday, the Israeli health ministry on Wednesday instituted new guidelines on the novel coronavirus, specifically for residents returning to the country from international conferences abroad. The ministry update, pushed out on the Telegram account today, advised that the attendees of the conferences will be charged and with home isolation for 14 days. Why is that? Well, guess why? Because people at AIPAC now have been diagnosed with coronavirus, according to this article. I mean, think about that. 275 synagogue delegations and students from over 630 campuses and two-thirds of the members of Congress, according to AIPAC. Now, I'm going to repeat that. You guys need to hear this one again. I want you to listen to me. Two-thirds of the members of Congress were at AIPAC. Because remember, 50 to 70 members of Congress have dual Israeli citizenships. Yeah, that's kind of weird. Tuesday marked the end of the annual conference in Washington put on by the American-Israeli Public Affairs Committee, also known as AIPAC, which drew more than 18,000 people from all 50 states, more than 275 synagogue delegations, thousands of students from 630 campuses, and more than two-thirds of the members of Congress, according to AIPAC. On Tuesday, thousands of conference attendees fanned out across the Capitol Hill, meeting with senators, House members, and their staff. Thousands of them. Among those at the conference were students from Yeshiva University, whom Senate Minority Chuck Schumer, dual Israeli citizen, celebrated Tuesday from the stage for a recent basketball triumph. The Israeli Health Ministry's new guideline does not specifically name the AIPAC conference, hint, hint, as triggering the new policy, though it has circulated among AIPAC attendees on whom its meeting was not lost. Members of the Congress making the connection between the confirmed faces of the cases in New York and the conference goers have pressed AIPAC, here we go, for more information, but the organization has said little until Wednesday afternoon. On Wednesday, Yeshiva University closed its campus, citing a confirmed case of the coronavirus among a student there who contracted it from his father, a Westchester man who is himself in serious condition. The student is quarantined at home and hasn't been to the school since Thursday, but he was at AIPAC. Three Jewish schools, basically the SAR Academy in Riverdale, Westchester Day School in Manormek. Somebody spell it for you. Manormeck and Westchester Torah Academy all announced coronavirus-related closures on Tuesday, remember, after AIPAC. The sickened attorney's 14-year-old daughter attends SAR, and all three sent delegations to AIPAC. Leaders at AIPAC distributed hand sanitizer, okay, that's going to help, and urged people not to touch their noses or hug. So in other words, what we've done here with this group of Zionists at AIPAC is we have basically seeded Christian churches all over the country whose pastors and congregation members attended AIPAC with potential coronavirus interaction. Just thought I'd mention that. Now, as so many of these churches sit around wondering why they haven't been raptured, yeah, I shouldn't probably say that, should I? We're going to find out real quickly that this whole Scofield Bible thing was pushed on us. So guys, listen to me for a second. You know, realize that you have to avoid crowds. You have to avoid being in large groups of people who want to hug you and kiss you and get in your face and basically sneeze on you. Avoid that. By the way, physical gold, according to this article, will soon break free from the paper market in spectacular fashion. That's probably going to be true. And also it says the worst is yet to come. Nomura now sees as many as 1.5 million coronavirus cases by June. So guys, this thing isn't going away anytime soon. And the WHO says the coronavirus is more deadly than they originally thought. I mean, duh. I mean, the World Health Organization, why would anybody listen to him? And now Wall Street is saying we don't even know what's going on with Wall Street. And Wall Street admits they're completely and totally clueless. But the good news is mortgage rates have hit an all-time low because the stock market has stopped. The interest rates keep continuing to drop. And we just need to realize, guys, that, you know, this is going to be an interesting time for all of us. We need to cinch up our belts nice and tight and realize that even investment-grade credit markets are crashing right now and understand that this is going to be something that's going to be here for a little while. In fact, an interesting article from Zero Hedge says, we have never seen this before. The last time the market did this, FDR confiscated all of the gold back in the early 30s. Interesting time we live in, guys. And quite frankly, if you're bored right now, you're not listening to the Ted and Austin Rohr Show. We'll keep things moving. What did old Zig Ziglar say one time, Austin? That was one of the best lines he ever used. Ziglar said, I'm kind of like a cross-eyed discus thrower, you know, like a track and field event, a cross-eyed discus thrower. You can't really see where the discus is going to go. He goes, I may not set any records, but we will keep the crowd alert. That's what we're trying to do, guys, and give you guys a little bit of hope and a little bit of humor through this. Because remember, guys, we can't, you know, the Bible says that laughter doeth good like a medicine. All of us have to be supporting one another, being with each other, praying for each other, and basically staying frosty right now. You know, go over to the grocery store, you know, and if you don't have any stored up food, go buy some cans. You know, I don't like canned food, but it does have calories in it, you know, and it's cheap. And you can rotate the cans on your pantry shelf. If you can, get organic cans. That's the best. And just rotate the stuff off your pantry shelf. Get about a month's supply of food stored up. I talked to my man last night in China for almost an hour. And he said he still lives on a stored food that he had for 3 months and a stored water. And he said nothing's changed. He said it's worse. He said the troops are still on the street. That they're about the only ones on the street. Only one person from a household can go get any food or any groceries. And that China's basically shut down except for a few smaller factories, which have been able to keep their staff basically from coming down with coronavirus. That China's at a standstill. He's been living down there for 15 years now. Now listen to me what he just said. I said to him, I said, how does the sky look? I mean, last time I was in China, I couldn't even see the sun. It was so bad. It was like the whole city was a smog. And he goes, Ted, for the first time in 15 years, I see blue skies. I see no smog at all. China has come to a screeching halt. Everything's shut down. All the factories are shut down. No more pollution. Everything's shut down. Guys, that's where we are right now. And we need to understand that's where the United States is headed. And unless the United States implements better quarantine procedures, like Austin said earlier, and stops all of this international travel and all of this stuff, we have to maintain interstate commerce. We've got to do that, or we can't maintain a GDP. But what we don't have to do is basically have people flying all over the planet right now, coming back to the United States and not being quarantined. I mean, if you're self-quarantining in your house, and they say you have to stay in your house for 2 weeks, what are they going to do, ankle bracelet you? They're not. They're going to say you can't leave your house for 2 weeks. People are going to leave. People get bored. People don't want to sit around the house for 2 weeks. I mean, that's why they went on vacation to start with, because they didn't want to sit around the house. That's the problem we're going to run into. And guys, just stay frosty right now. Love you guys. Also, what's your next story, bud?
No, that was well said. And, you know, one thing I can encourage people is, you know, I told you guys a few months ago, ironically, I had nothing to do with this originally, is pick up a couple board games. Pick up a couple decks of cards. Pick up Uno or something. Pick up some stuff that you can interact with your kids. You know, Lana and I have been doing that more with the kids lately, playing little early board games, and we have some other ones for later on when they start getting older and a little bit more, you know, they can handle stuff more. The reason why is it helps you interact with one another. It's like how we used to do it. We used to actually have to interact with one another. You know, we didn't revolve around internet or television or any of that stuff. That was just a side note. I mean, the internet, when I grew up, the internet wasn't even anything. You know, video games were borderline garbage. I mean, the quality and the you know, the graphics was par nothing. And it's funny, I was talking to Lana last night, and I said, it just popped in my mind randomly. I said, do you remember back in the day when we used to have TV Guide? You get a TV Guide every week, and you look through the TV Guide. Oh, what movie's coming on Tuesday or Thursday or Friday? And, you know, but you still had plans to go out, so you'd put a VHS tape in the machine, and you'd set it, and you'd push record whenever you'd leave, and you'd record the movie that came on TV for 2 hours, and you could go back later and watch it and fast-forward through the commercials, and that was the extent of, like, you know, movie night back then, you know, if you wanted to do something like that, and, you know, get a TV Guide to see what came on later on in the week, and that was it. But it's funny because that's how it was back then. Now everything's at everybody's fingertips. Everybody has to have it right this second. I mean, we have live streaming movies, which I'm not saying are necessarily a bad thing. It's nice to see that sometimes. You know, if you want to see a movie, bam, you can stream it right now. But it's made the people, the populace of the entire world, so lazy in most cases and so bent on always having to have their way, what they want, right when they want it, right now, that nobody knows how to pop in a VHS anymore and click record and go out to dinner and have a nice evening and go hang out with family or maybe go play Monopoly or Clue or Uno and just have fun hanging out with one another. It was funny, a couple, like 2 weeks ago for Lana's birthday, you know, we went out to Orlando for dinner, but the night before that we ended up going over to one of our friend's house that has some kids, and we went over there and we ended up having a Uno night and played Uno for like hours, and we had an absolute blast with it. No phones, no TV, nothing. I mean, not we didn't like put our phones, you know, away in a microwave or anything. We like that, but we just had fun. And that's something everybody needs to kind of get back to right now, because I'm telling you, if you got to start self-quarantining, or just for the simple fact that you're healthy and you don't want to be going out and about, you better figure out how to do some stuff and do some stuff productive, because quite frankly, even television and internet gets old after a while. because there's no interaction. There's no person-to-person interaction. You're not doing anything. You're just sitting there staring at a screen like a idiot, drooling on yourself after 10 hours. You wouldn't do that forever. You want to engage with one another. Take time if you are going to be in a situation where you are going to self-quarantine. Or you are going to prevent, you know, from going out. You're not going to engage a lot of people. And you're going to stay inside on the weekend. Take that time to get a little bit closer with family. Take that time to play a board game or play cards or whatever you want to play. It doesn't matter. Do something like that with one another and interact with each other. Get to know each other once again. Hang out, you know. And I just kind of say that as encouragement. It doesn't have to be something that so many times now we've gotten so used to constantly go, 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 go. And, I mean, I've been like that for the last year. I'll be honest with you. Just because running the company, raising kids, having a family, building a custom home right now, which I am ready to be done with. You get to a point where you're just like, everything's go, go, go. You don't stop. You're just wide open. You get up at 7 o'clock, and then you blink, and you're getting ready for bed at 9 o'clock, and you're taking a shower, and you go to bed, and you wake up, and you do it all over again. And we get so wrapped up and just constantly going that sometimes we don't just take a step back and say, hey, just hang out for a couple hours. Just play a board game. Just play some cards. Just do something that's just different. We don't have to be so busy, dreadfully busy all the time that we can't do anything else. So that's just kind of my word of encouragement on that, because quite frankly, there's probably a high probability schools are going to be shutting down in the United States here pretty soon. I'm just getting everybody a heads up on that. I mean, Italy's already shut down all their schools, like 9 million kids out of school. You know, I mean, China, Japan, Iran, Iraq, North Korea, United Emirates, Lebanon, like all these places, they've like shut down most of their school systems now. It's only a point in time before they do it here in the U.S. because, quite frankly, that's one of the easiest ways to transmit this stuff. If a child gets it, he goes to school, he's around all these other kids, they're all in each other's faces all the time, they don't wash their hands. You tell them to wash their hands, you train them to wash their hands, they still don't wash their hands. They're touching everything, boogers everywhere, blowing their nose. They're kids. They're nasty. That's why you got to make sure you get on them as much as you can about having proper hygiene all the time. They're going to spread it, and the school systems are going to be hotbeds for it, because then they're going to spread it, and they're going to take it home to their families. Their families are going to get exposed to it. Then they're going to go to work. They're going to go to work and spread it. And this is what's happened pretty much in Italy. It's just, it's spread rapidly through multiple different areas. So there's a high probability the school systems are going to shut down very, very soon in the U.S. And as far as I'm concerned, you know, even if they do teleschools or something like that, I think it's a good idea, quite frankly. It's less garbage your kids have to be exposed to with all this crap they're trying to peddle in the public school systems. I mean, quite frankly, you can actually take some time to maybe spend a little bit of time with your kids and teach them a little bit more truth, to show them a little bit more direction. Maybe have them read a book or two that they're not allowed to read in school. Because obviously, you know, the mainstream schools, the public school systems, are just blatantly communist indoctrination camps. That's why they have their curriculums, they have their Common Core, they have everything that they want to know and they want them to read. And it's interesting, like there's a book that I've actually been reading right now. A buddy of mine recommended it to me, and I haven't been reading a lot of books lately. I've been so busy, but I wanted to read something kind of at night, honestly, just kind of get my mind off a lot of this stuff. And it's not a book that I recommend for everybody. It's very graphic, but it's called Eyes Behind the Lines. And what it is it's about basically a captain in the Army, in Ranger, basically he's an Army Ranger, and reconnaissance in 1969, in Vietnam. This is a true story. It's full accounts of everything that happened, basically all the battalions and everything that they were dealing with. And it's a very interesting book. Like I said, it's very intense, but it's a very interesting book, especially the way that it's written and the accounts and how detailed it is with everything. And it's just something interesting to read and seeing how they did things over there, how horrific some of the conditions were over there, and just the interesting things that you just really don't think about unless you were actually over there in detailed account with this. And so, I mean, maybe it's time put down the remote, put down the TV, put down the internet, put down the iPhone, and pick up a book that you want to read too right now. Do something a little bit different. That's just my take on it right now, Deb.
You know, Austin, that's some great advice, because guys, if we don't, you know, try to maintain some type of positive outlook in our lives, you know, it just gets overwhelming. You know what I'm saying? It just keeps, like I said, beginning of the show, sometimes you just got to come up for air and realize it's so important that you just let go, let God, just stay focused on what the Holy Spirit wants you to do. You know, be led by the Holy Spirit. I mean, these guys who run this planet, they don't care about you or me. They don't care about us. So, you know, we have to just kind of like take care of each other. They'll know that you're my disciples because you love one another. Is what the word says. I love you guys. I appreciate you too. I mean, you know, we're all together in this. And it's just so wonderful to be able to spend time with you guys every day and just to be able to share with you the good news of the gospel. I love you guys. I appreciate you. It was my privilege, like I mentioned earlier, my responsibility to pray for you guys this morning. Austin, go ahead and close it up. I'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
Yes, guys, please be sure if you need anything, feel free to give us a call here at Health Masters, 1-800-726-1834. We're still keeping inventory strong right now. Dad and I have been on top of our suppliers, so we've actually done a really good job at keeping everything up to date on our supplies. And so be sure if you need anything, give us a call. You know, the vitamin C, the D3, everything's in stock right now. The product of the week, the probiotic, 350 billion, which is actually 650 billion CFUs at time of production. Very, very, very strong probiotic. Not something that you normally have to take all the time, but definitely something if you've had to take antibiotics or you have an immune compromised system, something good to keep on deck that you can try and use, as it really, really, really strengthens the immune system and the digestive system. On the website right now is product of the week, 5% off. And also be sure to vote for what you want to see win next week as product of the week. We do it every week. Everybody loves it. Great feedback on it. And also, too, be sure to check out the Ultimate Multiple Powder, the new flavor on sale for over 30% off. Much, much more milder flavor, less sweet. Took a lot of the stevia out of it. Did that for a lot of customers. They basically didn't like the original formula. They said it was too sweet. I personally liked it, but again, it's such an important formula. It's such a very, very important formula when it comes to the multivitamin, the full mineral spectrum, and bioactive B vitamins and everything. It's so important that you keep that at least as your base. You know, that's why I tell everybody all the time, say, where do I start with? Ultimate Multiple. If you want to throw in some C and D, if you're trying to keep it in a budget, then go from there. But make sure you start with a good base and do the best you can to keep the whole family healthy and make sure everybody's taking supplements. I mean, I was talking to Lanny yesterday, and I was like, listen, I said, make sure the kids are taking all their vitamins. I know they're taking their vitamins, but make sure you stay on top of them about them getting their vitamins every day right now, because it's crucial that everybody stays as healthy as possible, stays away from the sugar, the processed foods, the high fructose corn syrup, the food coloring, anything that could possibly compromise your immune system. You really want to try to avoid it right now as much as possible. That's just really, really important, because there's in water. Make sure you're drinking purified water. Make sure you also have some stored up water. And I just say that very clearly because, you know, if you have to stay inside for a couple days or you're really not wanting to go out and about, make sure you have a water source. If you're on a well, make sure you can filter it. If you're on city water, well, make sure, you know, if something happens, you have a backup. It doesn't get cut off. That's just something you got to think about. Dealt with that hurricanes numerous times. That's why I'm a huge fan of wells. I got one at my house. I'm doing as well. So thank you guys for the support. I'll be on the Hagman Show tonight. Got more stuff that we're going to be covering on there later on. Be sure to check that out. Have a blessed, safe, awesome weekend. Stay safe. Stay prepared. Live in a spirit of love and of sound mind and of peace. And just make sure you basically are doing everything you can that you know to do right now, guys. Thank you for everything you do. Have an awesome weekend. We'll talk to you again Monday, as always, on the show.